What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and you all have been so gracious to write in and share your family discipleship stories. I received an email from a listener named Joey, and he said, "My family and I have been doing regular family devotions for years now. I can't even remember when we started. It felt a bit awkward to begin with, but our consistency over time has truly baked it into the fabric of our home life. To give you an idea of its impact, my children actually get upset and feel thrown off if we miss a day, which shows how much they value it. Our routine is quite simple. We slowly work our way through Kevin DeYoung's The Biggest Story Children's Bible. To make sure they're engaged, I ask each kid to tell me one thing they heard from the reading. If they can, they earn a little extra TV time." Oh yeah, way to go, Joey. "After that, I offer a brief explanation of the text, and then we pray. The ages of the kids in this are 6, 4, 2, and Joey and his wife have one on the way." So that's just a sweet story. I've received a couple of emails about guys who really want to step up their game with family discipleship, and one from Jim Caruso. Remember I said that sometimes the Christian music can be cheesy or the Seeds worship can be cheesy? He actually has a YouTube channel called Word Songs, where he has written songs with scripture, and they actually sound great. I was listening to them this week in my office. So again, that's Word Songs on YouTube if you want to check them out. Guys, if you have success stories about family discipleship, I would love to hear them and get to share those with others. And I really do believe that one of the best defenses for family is a good offense with your investment in God's Word and discipleship and just a level of humility before each other as you're all learning before God's Word. So that being said, some of that does segue into today's episode, because I'd like to address wise steps to lead your kids with technological devices. And technology is everywhere. It's pervasive, as you know. And unless you are a parent, you know, probably more grandparents, because most of us as parents now, we are parenting in a technological age. And even from a very young age, kids are accessing at least the TV, or there's a computer at home that they're watching movies on. And, you know, I have kids that span age 14 down to age 3. And I've raised them in a technological age. And so I'd like to use this episode to help share just wisdom principles for guiding how to parent your kids with their technology, and then end the next segment with practical tips and tools that I've learned, things that you should check out, and what we personally do as a family, for whatever that's worth to you. First of all, I'm not an alarmist, but I do think it's important to understand why you're careful and why you do have an active managerial leadership presence with your kids. There are early exposures, and I'm just going to call them, to drama. And that is, of course, pornography, and pornography can wreck your life, hurt you. It can perpetuate a wrong understanding of the opposite sex and even lead to misconduct. So pornography, predatorial stuff where you have adults that are trying to seduce kids, and I think just the drama of social media. And when we talk about social media, that's self-image stuff. That is comparison, covetousness. It's all that junk. And I was looking up the prevalence of pornography, and Covenant Eyes, according to Covenant Eyes, and you can find this at covenanteyes.com, the blog is Teens and Pornography. The percentages, according to Covenant Eyes, say that 73% of teens have consumed pornography, and the average age of first exposure to pornography is 12. The reality is that I've seen it actually be a lot younger. In fact, I've, in counseling, seen kids be exposed to pornography as young as 10. And I'm sure there's younger, but 10. And it's probably not surprising to you that it's almost entirely on a portable device. And when I say portable, it's iPad, it's cell phone. I mean, there's other weird tablets and things like that, but just like portable electronic device. That's not your desktop computer in the living room. It's not typically a laptop. Usually it's that portable device. When we look at these numbers, as early as 12 or 73%, that doesn't even include the predatorial or social media drama that comes with the use of technology. So you have to at least be wise as a parent and recognize that you're parenting in a technological age and God's given you the grace to do that, but you need to be discerning and diligent. And discerning means that you're able to tell what's right and wrong and wise and foolish. And you're recognizing, hey, this is probably a foolish thing for my 11-year-old to be able to do this. So that's discernment. So let me say it in a negative way, and I don't want to be overly abrasive, but this is true. You are being lazy and or naive if you're not managing your kids' technological devices. Lazy because it does take work and you have to learn skills that you may not have. And you don't feel like the IT guy or the geek squad. You don't really want to be that for your family, but that's what your family needs you to be. Or you're being naive to think that your kids don't have access, that your kids would never do that, that your kids would never Google and search these things, that they would never use those apps. You're being naive in that way. So let me start with some biblical principles to help guide the way that we are leading our kids with their devices. And then I'm going to jump into age brackets and how to think about different age brackets and technology. Okay, so first of all, we know that purity is God's will. That's easy money. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4. This is God's will for you, your sanctification. And there's no ifs, no exceptions. There's no buts in that. We know that God wants us to be pure. And we are helping create an environment for our kids that is pure. We can't control it perfectly, and we're not called to do that either. But yet we are encouraged and called as parents to be faithful in promoting a pure environment. Point B, the hearts of our kids are naturally sinful. They are sinful apart from the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. So apart from Christ, Jeremiah 17:9 is true, that your child, as much as you love them, their heart is sick and it's deceitful. So you combine that with Hebrews 3:12-13. Your heart is deceitful and sin is deceitful. So you really have a tricky heart. It's tricky to rock a heart, okay, that's not Run DMC time. But you know, you just can't trust it. Against every Disney movie that's out there, your child has to learn they can't trust their heart and you can't trust their natural heart. The next principle that is important is that your environment will draw out what you're capable of doing. And you may think that your daughter or your son is not capable of, and they have no interest in the social media covetousness or inappropriate Snapchatting other people or pornography, but you just need to recognize that the environment can help draw that out. If you remember the Highlights magazines that used to be mailed to us, you would have the scratch and sniff sticker at the back, and as you scratch this sticker, it smells like a fruit or a strawberry or something like that. The irritant of an environment actually draws out what your child's heart is capable of. So yes, you could say, well, they didn't think that way till they started being exposed to that stuff. And it's like, well, yes, but there is that symbiosis. The environment just draws out what your heart is capable of. And so good company, think of 1 Corinthians 15:33. Good company helps you practice good morals, but bad company actually corrupts good morals. So if you're in the wrong friend group, wrong digital environment, it will have a significant influence on your morals, your inner person. Remember, not causative, but a significant shaping factor. So number one, purity. Number two, our kids' hearts are naturally sinful. Number three, the environment. And these last two, I think you're gonna want some greater explanation. Number four, technology is not a right, it is a privilege. And there are many parents that see that a phone is just the right of their 10-year-old. Like, hey, you're in fourth grade and everyone at school has one, so you have one. And I think you just need to wake up and be sober-minded about what you're thinking. Technology is a convenience, it's a privilege, it's a gift, but it is not a requirement. And I'm not being a bad parent to fail to give you that or to withhold that from you. So with that principle in place, number five is that privacy on technology while living at home is not a right either. And I am talking about those that are primarily 16 and under, 17 and under, that if you're living in our house and you're on our family plan and you're using my electricity to charge your phone and my Wi-Fi to search things on the phone, this is not a right. Privacy on your phone is not a right. In fact, privacy is earned by being a faithful steward. And if I give you a little bit of privacy and you're faithful to that, then you can have more and so forth. But there is no such thing as, well, that's my kid's phone or that's my kid's iPad and that's off limits to me. There is no private use of the iPad. There is no private use of a laptop computer or an iPhone. If you're doing that, and especially if you're doing that with the 12 to 16-year-olds, you're crazy. I mean, honestly, you're crazy. I think you're naive. Maybe you're being lazy. Your kids do not have the right to privacy. They earn the right to privacy by being faithful stewards of that privacy. So what does that mean? You need to spot check what your kids are doing. And all I mean by spot check is just occasionally jump on and see what they're YouTubing. They shouldn't have a browser, so I'm not going to say browsing history, but you should be able to jump on and say, okay, what apps have you been using and how much? Who have you been talking to? There's no deleted things. I'm just going to spot check what you're talking about in those messages. And when you're Snapchatting friends, I want to see what you're talking about. When you comment on a video, what comment did you make? That's just inspecting what you expect. So when you're thinking about privacy, that's not a thing. You earn privacy, your kids earn it. And then you're still spot checking. So as a student is faithful, they get more privacy. But as they're not faithful, yes, you guessed it, they get less privacy. So let's take a short break. When we come back, I want to break down the ages and give you some practical steps for helping. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford as he continues to talk about how to lead your kids with technology. Not an easy subject. That's why I'm grateful for Fortis Institute, because this isn't surface level pep talks. What you're hearing is the same kind of clarity that Fortis has been committed to for over 25 years. First as Ratchet, then as Gospel Partners Media, now as Fortis Institute. Not softening the edges around here. We're not chasing trends. We're putting biblical truth right where you live. Marriage, parenting, discipleship, theology, and we're making it freely available. That's the best part. That's what Fortis Plus is all about. It's our app, and it's loaded down with hundreds of hours of biblical content, podcasts and videos and teaching. Every single day, we're adding more content to the hundreds of hours of content you're already going to find waiting for you there. This isn't a gimmick. It's not a free trial that's going to ask for your credit card later on. It's just free. You can download Fortis Plus right now wherever you get your apps, which could be your phone or now your smart TV, like your Roku, your Amazon Fire Stick, Apple TV, whatever smart TV thing you have. Search for Fortis Plus in your app store. You're going to find it. Or you can also go straight to fortisplus.org. And listen, the only reason this is free is because of our gospel partners, men and women who said, yep, I want to see this kind of biblical clarity reach more people. So if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, which we tell you all the time you must be doing before you give to us, if you're doing that and you'd like to lock arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org. That's exactly where you'll get answers to your questions and also see how impactful your partnership can actually be. And let me also mention this before we get back to Dr. Gifford. What he's doing here on Transformed, he's also doing every single day at the Master's University, training the next generation of biblical counselors. He's equipping men and women to step into the hardest conversations with Scripture in hand. If that's a path you've thought about, serving others with biblical wisdom, then TMU should be on your list. You can learn more right now at masters.edu/transforms. All right, let's get back to Dr. Gifford now as he continues to show us what it looks like to lead our kids wisely in a digital world. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Jimmy, thank you for the resources, sir. I hope that Fortis has just become like a family name for you all, and you're beginning to think of the fellows when you're considering topics and resources and how to use some of your free time. In this episode, we've been talking about technological tips for kids, and I just finished saying, hey, there's really five principles that I want to give you. Purity is God's will. Our kids' hearts are naturally sinful. The environment will draw out what you're capable of. Technology is not a right, it's a privilege, and privacy on technology while living at home is not a right either. So you have to earn that. So let me give you some divisions of ages just to help you think categorically, because the way that you're parenting your 17-year-old, I would hope, is different from your 7-year-old, and that you kind of have seasons of life postures with your kids. So first of all, ages 1 through 5, we have a three-year-old at home, and really around two, they'll start to watch cartoons. I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard Baby Shark. It's like scarred into my subconscious at this point. But that's really TV and maybe an iPad, or maybe you're out busy about town and you let them watch something on your phone. So that's TV, iPad, ages 1 to 5. Ages 5 to 12, you're thinking like, okay, what do they have access to? TV, iPad, and maybe closer to the 11, 12-year-old range. We might give them a smartwatch so they can have a phone number, but they still don't have their own cell phone at 12 years old. And then, unfortunately for all of us, around 12 or 13, it's TV, iPad, smartwatch, and a closely managed phone. Not totally bricked, but a closely managed phone. And then really after 16 or 17, they're at adult age, and we're just about saying, hey, look, I'm not going to micromanage your phone and what you're doing and your social media presence. I'm going to hope that all the years that I've invested into you, that you'll apply those at this point. But I don't think that at 17 years old, we really need to be policing up our kids' phones. They're going to be 18 pretty soon, going to college, going to trade school or military, whatever they're going to do. So really just you're thinking in these groups, and that primary age is really like a 12 to 16, 17, where you're trying to help disciple them with the use of their phone. Do I think you should give a 10-year-old a phone? No. No, in fact, I think you're on meth if you're doing that. I wonder, like, what bleach are you smoking? You're crazy to give a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old. And if it's bricked or if it's just used as an iPad, yeah, I could understand that. But the reality is you still have cameras, you still have apps, you still have Wi-Fi. There's just so many things that I think you're being crazy to do. So do I recommend it? No, it's not an absolute sin. But I do think that you're being very foolish to give a young child a phone. When might you begin to introduce it? Usually kids are starting to be independent around puberty. So they're starting to do their own thing, their own hangouts. They're at friends' houses. They're getting around town. And you want to be able to keep up with them, text them, call them, track their location, whatever you're doing. So I would say that's happening around puberty, 12, 13, whenever a daughter or a son can actually get that phone. So when you do that, okay, RK. Usually that's what the Australians do. You Aussies add R's into everything. Right. Okay, let me give you some practical steps. And some of these you're not going to like because it makes you the IT guy. But moms and dads listening to this, you need to get each kid an Apple account and you need to manage them under your family plan on your Apple account. This means you're going to have to get an email for each of them. And it is a hassle, trust me. An email for each of them and set up an Apple ID for each of them. But then you can input their age that corresponds obviously to their birthday, and it will continue to progress as they're on your family plan. There, don't give them your devices and don't let them have access to your stuff. There's no open access to mom's phone or dad's phone. Once you are setting them up in this way, then you can manage each child underneath the settings in your phone. So literally, you'll open your phone and you'll see the iPads, the smartwatches, and the phones that are part of your family plan. And then you can set up permissions and requirements for each of your kids. You can see what they're using. You can set limits to apps, or you can just block them altogether. So for instance, none of my kids have access to Safari or Chrome. Those are blocked, and I will spot check regularly that those are blocked. I've caught that they've been on, and I attribute that to me turning them on to download something and forgetting to turn it back off. You're going to block access to things, put timers on, see what they're using. In this, you're going to delegate that they need to ask permission to download an app. And remember, and this is something that I've learned in recent years, if you don't ask that, then they can download whatever platform they would like to. So Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, it's all there and it's waiting for you. There are even things called hidden apps. So your kids can download an app. It's on their phone, but it's hidden. So it takes a password or Face ID to be able to unlock the hidden apps. So what are you doing first of all? Create the family account, then manage the kids underneath that family account. Let me just tell you that this is boring. And many of you are like, Dr. Gifford, I don't have time to do this and I don't know how to do this. And I would say, welcome to the club. Then you need to hire a personal IT guy or gal to do this for you. But this is part of faithful parenting in 2025, where you have to be diligent about managing your kids' IT access, their technology access. So I don't have time for it either, but this is part of what it means to be faithful. So here's an idea. YouTube is the new rage. Netflix is actually one of the least streamed services. Then you have Amazon Prime. And then YouTube is becoming the predominant way that Americans watch TV. And that is most likely true for you and your kids. So here is just a tip on that. Log into YouTube with your account, and then you can see the history of what your kids have been watching. You can also set up a principle where there's no explicit content, and YouTube does have that setting. It won't allow you to stream certain things that are deemed as adult material. And lastly, I think a good guideline is to say, kids, you're only allowed to watch subscribed content. So you just can't sit there and YouTube whatever you want. You need to work with mom and dad to identify what you can subscribe to, and then you can only watch those channels. Remember, you need to inspect what you expect on this. So if you're saying, hey, kids, you can use YouTube on your iPads, then guess what I'm doing periodically? Yes, that's right. I'm spot checking what they've been looking at on YouTube. I'm not a hypochondriac and I'm not checking it 30 times a day, but every couple of weeks, I'm just double checking. What are they looking at? What are they watching? And there are times we're going to see, okay, that one was too risque. Hey, you're getting close. Hey, this wasn't subscribed content. And you're creating that environment where your kids just know that you're lovingly going to check in on them. So let me finish with two categories for you. In your mind, in one category, I want you to have a must. And in the next one, I want you to have a nice to. So what's necessary versus what's nice to? What's necessary, number one, is that your kids do not have open access to an internet browser. School, laptops, phones, you're crazy. You're on meth, you're smoking bleach, okay? I don't know how else I can say it. If you're letting your kid have open access to the internet, you are on meth. Number two, there is a very, very rare case where you need social media before 16. Maybe you're on a sports team. Maybe you have some type of study club that you do a Facebook group with your friends. But there are very few instances where you need social media before 16. Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, that type of stuff. I don't even know if Snapchat would be considered social media at this point. It's more like a messaging service. But whatever those messaging services are, just think like, I don't want my nine-year-old daughter, if I had a nine-year-old daughter, I don't want her on an Instagram and I don't want her on a TikTok. So what am I doing? I'm limiting that. Maybe I'm just providing a small amount of time where they can use it, or I'm just not allowing them to have it at all when they're 13, 14, 15. And if they're good stewards of their phone and their technology, then we'll allow them to get it. But we feel no compulsion for our kids to be on social media at a young age. So limit how much the devices are used. So what are the necessary things? No internet browser, no social media before 16, and then limit how the devices are used. What's nice to? What's something that's nice to? Have your child turn in their device to you. Do it at a nightly basis. I know families that will actually have their kids turn them in at 9 or 10 o'clock, and the kids are going to bed shortly thereafter. Or schedule times with your kids where they don't have access to these devices. Those things are nice. As your kids get older, you realize that there is a convenience to them having their phone because you can call them. You can do the find my location thing. You can text them. Like it makes things infinitely easier for some of us as parents as well. So it is nice for them to have their device, but then you schedule times where they don't have it and they're totally free from it. School would be a great example of that, or work would be a great example of that, or they're tutoring, or they're at soccer, you know, whatever's going on. Here's a principle, and then let me pray for you, and then you feel free to write in and share whatever you have found to be helpful as well. Our job as parents is to be faithful. So if our kids want to be deceptive or impure or unkind, we cannot control their behavior. However, we can put roadblocks up to help discourage that type of behavior and point them to Christ in the process. So don't feel a compulsion to be a hypochondriac and a parole officer, but do feel a compulsion to be faithful and to do your best to prevent your kid from unnecessary exposure to these things. So if they want to be deceitful and unchristlike, that is on them, but we're going to do our best to prevent the opportunities to do that, especially while living in our home. And especially while under 16, 17 years old. So let me pray for you all. Again, greg@transform.org. If you have ideas or things that you have found to be helpful, I would love to share those or even compile them for a future episode. So please send those my way. Let me pray for us. Lord, we are parents that are just trying to be wise, and it's not easy at times because we're tired and we're technologically challenged and we feel a bit overwhelmed. Sometimes we just get mad and it's an all or nothing. We just take it all away and they get no access, or we just give them unfettered access to technology. So Lord, help us to walk that fine line of stewardship, pointing them to Christ and helping them see that these technologies should be a means of making much of Christ, not themselves. So give us grace as parents to trust you with the results of our parenting. Lord, we know that a true win in parenting is that we honor you, and that's what we want to do. So help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.